It's Vikings Purple Past on The Fan.
Bumps it out to the left to the 15. Sprints inside the 5. Touchdown!
Now, celebrating the great past years of Vikings football, here's The Fan's Mark Rosen.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Vikings Purple Past. Mark Rosen, your host here on KFAN, and it's always a treat to chat with some of my favorite Vikings and your favorite Vikings of all time, and the timing could not be better than to have Chuck Foreman, one of my favorite Vikings and one of yours as well, on the show this evening. Chuck, good evening. How are you?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing real well, and I say the timing could not be better because on Sunday afternoon, Adrian Peterson broke your all-time touchdown rushing record for the Minnesota Vikings, one that had stood for a long, long time. Your thoughts about that? I'm sure you felt it was going to be inevitable, and he did it rather quickly, but give us your opinion about Adrian Peterson breaking your record, first of all.
Well, obviously, all records are made to be broken. I'm surprised that it's been around for over 30-some years.
Yeah, it has.
You know, in my opinion, there couldn't have been a better man, better person that broke that record. I think he's the epitome of what an athlete should be, is, and I have a great deal of respect for Adrian and his accomplishments, and most of all, how he's come about to do it. He's a very special guy, and I am honored you had watched him break it.
You had 53 touchdowns is what you scored, rushing touchdowns.
Rushing, right.
Yeah, and yet if your offense in the 70s with Fran Tarkenton and company, probably a much different sort of setup than what we have with Adrian Peterson. Were you always sort of the go-to guy when you got inside the 5-yard line, or do you have a few other weapons as well?
Certainly I was the go-to guy for Fran in those situations. And as you said, you know, in my time, you know, the things were different, rules were different, everything was different, you know. So, I mean, though Adrian broke my record, it's, you know, everything's, I see him, he may score 100 touchdowns or more, who knows. Well, but with the changes in the NFL rules and things like that, you know, the records will be broken. But, you know, mine's been around 30 years.
So that's amazing.
Yeah.
That really is. Why do you, and you've seen so many running backs come and go. Look, there were some great ones here. Robert Smith comes to mind as well. But
right.
Why does Adrian stand out? And you can hear it in your voice, Chuck. Why do you have such high respect and keep hold him in such high esteem?
Well, his love for the game, number one. There's a lot of guys that play that are really, really good. But, you know, they do it because they're good. And, you know, they really don't have love for the game, you know, and I had that love for the game. Adrian, as you see when he's on the sideline and he's discussing certain things with maybe it'd be a coach or one of his teammates, mm-hmm. You look in his eyes and you can see that love of the game, and, you know, and that's what makes him work so hard. That's what makes him a cut above everybody else, and that's what I respect about Adrian. And, you know, don't get it wrong. I mean, it's not that I don't respect the other guys, but, you know, other guys use was a means to an end, to another place, and mm-hmm. and their heart really isn't in it. You know, they play it because they're good, but their heart's not in it, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, financially, there could be reasons why players play the game as well right now.
Right. Well, $100 million, I mean, Jesus, I can't even begin to believe that. But I'm happy that he's getting it, and, you know, it's been so long that players did not get that, and people say, oh, that's a lot of money. But, you know, the reality is, you know, one play, and you can be done. You could be hurt for life. You know, it's a different type of profession. It's a different type of a game. And everybody knows there's a risk when you get into it. And so, you know, you hope you can get through it, play well, and come out of it healthy, because if you look around, you see it, Mark, and mm-hmm. many players that play this game, you know, when they're done, and physically, they're done.
Mm. So true. And you played with the Vikings from 1973, was your rookie year, through 1979. And you look at Adrian's career and where it is right now, I think he's 28 years old. And the thought process about Adrian's always been, well, he runs so violently that maybe his career might be shortened because of, you know, he can't just run every play like it's his last. What are your thoughts when you look at Adrian's running style about having not just the durability but the longevity in this league, which is highly unusual, as you mentioned, to be on top for so many years?
Well, a running back position is one that's very physical, and, you know, you have to choose your battles. And of course, I do not want to detract from Adrian's abilities and what he does. And I've always said that you do what you do to get you there. So Adrian has a style of his own, and I would suggest that he continue to do that for sure, because that's who he is. And you start making changes, like, other than the fact that you got to know when to go down, Mark. You know, that part of it. But as far as him and his abilities to run the ball, you got to do what brought. You got to do it the way you know how to do it, and however long it lasts, it lasts. And we all know that going in. And, you know, let's just hope that he's one of those freaks of nature where, you know, like a Walter Payton. You know, Walter played that position for 14 years. And played it at a high level. So let's just hope that Adrian can continue. And he probably will because of his work ethic and his abilities and his God-given gifts. You know, you see his father, you see his mother. His father is like he still looks like he can go out there and do whatever he could do. So, you know, maybe he's got those genes and those kind of things. But I tell you what, he continues to do what he does and works as hard as he does. We'll see Adrian for at least 4 or 5 more years here in town at a high level.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I mean, coming from your lips, that means a lot. You know, your style, Chuck, and for those young listeners right now who weren't around to watch Chuck Foreman at his best, the spin doctor they used to call you, because you had a patented move, whether you were catching a ball from Fran Tarkenton in the flat or when you got in the open field, about spinning away from would-be tacklers, which just sort of came second nature to you, and that was sort of your hallmark way of establishing yourself as an all-pro type running back.
Right, certainly was. So, you know, I know my style of running and what I brought to the game and my position was certainly, I can't take credit for it myself, but I can say that, you know, my versatility was what created what they call the runner as receiver, I guess you want to say.
Almost a precursor to the West Coast offense to a certain extent, was it not, Chuck?
Well, it certainly was the West Coast offense. We called it the purple offense. And, you know, now they call it the West Coast offense or whatever, you know, I mean, whatever they want to do. But Jerry Burns is the guy responsible for that offense and its creator. I mean, some of them may have done a little few things and tweaked it a little bit here and tweaked it a little bit there. But Jerry Burns is the guy that brought that offense to fruition.
Let me ask you this, Chuck. We're talking to Chuck Foreman, the great running back for the Minnesota Vikings from 1973 through 79. I mentioned your pass-catching ability, which was so important in the Vikings' purple offense, as you talked with Fran Tarkenton. Do you think that Adrian Peterson in time could be, not Chuck Foreman-like, but do you think he should be or could be utilized more, catching the ball out of the backfield to add to his arsenal, or you look at him in a different vein?
Well, no, I think Adrian, his athletic ability and things like that, and certainly I'm an advocate of him being used more as a receiver. Number one, you can isolate him out there one-on-one with a guy instead of running through the line. As you said, you know, when you give him that ball and he's running it, he's going to run it. I mean, he's I don't want to call him a violent runner. He's a physical daredevil runner. You know what I mean? He's not going down unless it's, you might have to have 5 or 6 guys on him, but what worries me about that is that, you know, don't do that just to gain another inch.
Sure.
You know, when you got 5 guys on you, go down, come back and fight another down, you know, that's the part that I like. But yes, I think Adrian, I'm hoping that the Vikings will Bill Musgrave figure out a way to get him that ball out there in the flat or whatever they're going to do. I watched some teams and how they get that ball to their backs. And, you know, you get Adrian out there one-on-one with a guy. And number one, they're not going to want to tackle him one-on-one. And number two, with his escape ability and his ability to elude people, and, you know, that's going to, you know, it'll transition into more big plays. And without him having to go through the line and deal with all that.
But Chuck, here's the theory right now in the NFL, right, is that you can't just win in this league with a dominant running back, that it's a pass-happy league, that in order to get to the Super Bowl, in order to win a championship, whether you're watching what the Packers have done, the Colts did before, I mean, go down the line, where in your mind, do you have to have a balance? Can you win in this league with a dominant running back only, or do you need to have that balance?
I think you need to have that balance. In fact, I like the way Donovan McNabb is running our team. And, you know, the outcome in the last, you know, 5 minutes of the quarter, the last couple of games, is not what I'd be hoping for. But I see a good thing. And like you say, it's a passing league. But so they transitioned it into a passing league. But, you know, without a running game, even that can't work.
Mm-hmm.
Sooner or later, they'll make those adjustments and they'll stop you. And that's just the way it is, you know. And so if you're a dominant running team, they'll put that eight man up and they'll try to stop you that way. I still am an advocate of a balanced attack. And I think you can run that ball. That means clock management. That means you're taking minutes off. You keep your defense off the field, things like that. And I think for me, and watching the Vikings, you know, I like what I'm seeing. We just need a little bit more production from that wide receiver position. And maybe we could call Pat Williams back. Well, I'm serious when I say that.
I know you are. I'm sure. At least they got Kevin Williams coming back next week against Detroit.
Kevin Williams coming back. But let me tell you, I'm on the phone calling Pat Williams right now because the Vikings have a chance to do some good things. I mean, we're in probably the most toughest division in the league right now. And I'd be on there, you know, offering Pat, you know, whatever it is, a minimum. And he's sitting out right now. I'd be calling him saying, come on in and let's get this thing back to where it was and stop some of this run. Because I think if they can stop the run, you know, I think, wow, there's some great things that can happen for this team.
We're going to take a quick break. Maybe we'll get Rick Spielman on the phone to get this thing consummated during the commercial break. Chuck Foreman absolutely saying Pat Williams should be on this football team. We'll take a break and come back with the great one, Chuck Foreman. You're listening to Viking Purple Past here on The Fan.
Vikings Purple Past. Here's The Fan's Mark Rosen.
And welcome back to Viking Purple Past. We're having an engaging conversation with the great Chuck Foreman, who played with the Minnesota Vikings from 1973 to 1979, a five-time Pro Bowl selection, four-time All-Pro selection, 1973 NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. Oh, my goodness, 1973. I was about your age at that time, Chuck. We started out the same time, and all of a sudden, you're going to the NFC Championship game. Arguably, I think one of the greatest games the Vikings have ever played when you beat the Cowboys in Dallas. It was an amazing memory, I'm sure, for you, as it was for me.
It certainly was, Mark. You know, of course, that was my first time involved in a playoff situation, but playing with, you know, great players such as Alan Page, Jim Marshall, Carl Eller, Tran, Nick Kingoff, and all the others, you know, I can keep going and going and going. And if I miss anybody, you know, it's not intentional, but having that experience and being around those players, the work ethic and the commitment, I mean, that made me a better player because I didn't want to let them down. I wanted to be the best that I could be at all times.
Well, and you had a group, a very special group that understood that as well. And it does bring to mind the business of football. And you know that some people, as you mentioned, are in it. You mentioned Adrian Peterson. You can see it in his eyes. You can see it in his action, the love of the game. Yeah, he's got a lot of money in his bank account right now. But when you're 0-2, as the Vikings are right now, what do you look for in the intangibles in that locker room to kind of get you out of this funk that you're in right now? If you're in that locker room with the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, number one, there shouldn't be any negativity there because what we've seen, we're certainly 0-2, but you got to remember, we're 0-2, but look how we lost the games. You know, so the last couple minutes of each game, we haven't won. So the nucleus of everything that you need is there. The finishing part has not been there. And as I said before, you know, we got some new people and some new positions. We didn't have one of our best players of all time, Kevin Williams, in there. Certainly not Pat Williams. But, you know, it's important, you know, that we stop that run. And in the locker room, the players need to stay positive because they're just about there. You know, we're 0-2, but you know, we can start next week out, beat Detroit, and move forward. You got to understand that you do have is certainly that ability there to compete for this title, and they've got to understand that, and so they've got to find a way to finish. And I think that way, one of the ways they're going to do that, of course, is have Pat Williams back. He's not with us, but Kevin Williams back.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see Pat Williams back. But to stop that run, to slow it down a little, because I think everything else is in place. And the only thing, even the DBs, I like where they're playing, because they've upgraded that position. I'd like to see the wide receiver position be a little more consistent on catching the balls, you know. I watched Green Bay last week, and there's one thing I noticed about their receivers. I don't care where it's thrown behind them, in front of them, below, up high, whatever, they catch it.
Yeah, you know, they do.
They catch it, and that's a difference. And you know, we got a receiver that can do that. Their concentration level, whatever they have to do, has to be better if we're to compete in this division and win it.
Chuck, I've known you for a long, long time. I know you grew up, played in Maryland. You went to the University of Miami. Yet the Twin Cities really has been your home after your career ended. What is so special about staying here that's made you sort of a Viking for life, if you know what I mean?
One of the things is the people of Minnesota. Certainly, I've run across some creeps, but that's far and few between. But the people of Minnesota are unique. In my mind, special. They have embraced me and my family, and it's a great place to live. You know, crime rate is fairly low. And when I was up here, there was hardly any crime up here. But that part of it, and the people are forgiving too. You know, they are. I can't explain it, but when people ask me, I always put it to you this way: people, my friends ask me, "Hey, listen, why don't you move back to Florida? And
mm-hmm.
you can do this, and we can do that, and everything." And I say, you know, I it's just not the same. I mean, you got to come here and experience Minnesota, and then you'll understand why I love being in Minnesota, because it's the people and everything about it, for the most part, is different than any other place that I've been in and lived in. You know, and that's what keeps me here. It's a great place to raise a family. And as I said, I keep saying this, because this is one of the reasons why I stay here, is because of the people. And when I go out and I do my volunteer stuff and my charity things and mm-hmm. working with my Sound Advice for Life, and
right.
I get to get out there and visit and talk to people. I'm in the best place that you can ever be.
We've got about 4 minutes here, Chuck, and I want to get into that a little bit, because you are involved in this program, the Sound Advice for Life. It's a student development program, and you know that there are a lot of kids that are sort of sitting on that edge, which way they're going to go, the negative side of life or the positive side. And tell us about Sound Advice for Life and what you're trying to accomplish with that.
Well, what we do, we're a small part of what a lot of people are trying to do. We basically go in schools and deliver a good, positive, sound message. I, for one, give some experiences that I've had, both good and some bad, and some of the choices I've made, and mm-hmm. some of the consequences. And that's what it's all about, choices, consequences, and simple things like, Mark, how you talk to people. You know, how you respond to something somebody says to you. Just being a good person and understanding, you know, the rights and the wrongs. You know, everybody, kids, when they're 10 years old, 9 years, they know right from wrong. It's just a matter of them. Some people come from single-family homes, and, you know, the only thing they see is all that negative. And so what we try to do is reverse that and give them a positive message, so that they can go out and say, okay, when somebody comes to them with something that they know is not right, they'll be strong enough to say, you know, let me make this decision over here, and let me take the high road. It might take a little longer to get there, but it'll be consistent, and it'll be the right way to do it. And that's what we try to do. So, you know, simple, but makes sense.
How do you know if it's resonating without it having being a one-on-one? It's hard, because some kids are, you know, as you know, are very skeptical, going, oh, yeah, you're not in my shoes, though. It's easy for you to say.
Well, because when I see a lot of the kids, especially when I was substituting, I'm still hoping to do a little bit more of that. When I see those kids out of school and see, you know, I run into them everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they all say, even their parents or their grandparents come up to me and say, you know, my grandkid or my daughter or my son, you know, they had a great experience with you, and I really appreciate you talking to them. And because they're doing pretty good right now. Not because of me, Mark, don't misunderstand, but the fact that they listened to my message and it helped them make some good choices. And that's just me. And, you know, and I have nothing to do with the parents raise your kids and all that. I'm just a guy. This is like, if I want to say something to my kids, I usually call my brother and say, hey, Butch, call Jay, call Anthony, tell him.
Right,
this.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you know, peer pressure is so important. I mean, so amazingly vital too. And if you have someone to give you that advice, it's a difference maker.
Right. So, you know, sometimes my parents don't know what they're talking about, but they do know what they're talking about. But then you call your brother up or somebody, you know, hey, call and tell them this, and then they'll go do it. It's amazing. But that's what I do, and I'm hoping to now. What we're trying to do, my attorney friend Brandon Lawhead and Becky and I, we're trying to take this to a whole different level now, whereas we can get out there and develop some programs that we can be involved with daily and to make some differences. So we haven't fine-tuned it yet, but that's what we're doing now. So hopefully within the next few months we'll have that in place, and we'll get out there and we'll be able to daily touch people.
Well, Chuck, it sounds like you're on the right path of something that is extremely important in the next phase of your life to have that kind of impact. And it's you're never too old, as they say, and we're about the same age to have that sort of impact. If anything, I'm sure you feel energized from it as well. I can't tell you how much fun this has been for me. You're a special person in my life, Chuck Foreman, so it's great to chat with you this evening.
Well, you know, thank you, and thank you, people from Minnesota, for bringing so much joy to my life. And that's from the heart. Thank you.
Chuck Foreman, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to Vikings Purple Past here on The Fan. This is Mark.
This has been Vikings Purple.